I've got no signal up here. Okay, we are thankful that you are here this morning. I think this is a great morning. We have visitors, and we're thankful for that. And we have our members here. We're grateful for that as well. I want to share with you another reason that it's a great day is that we have three people who are placing membership with us today. I'm going to ask you to stand as I say your name. Herbert and Dolores Fair back here. Most of you recognize Herbert's great bass voice. And also Virgie Peak is going to place membership with us today. All right. They all come from the Big Sandy congregation, and we're certainly glad that they are with us today. You know, we've been long praying for three people who are here today that have not been able to be here regularly lately. Of course, Gary Yowell, we're so grateful that he's here. And also Jamie, a fellow, she's here as well. And then ML is on a walker today. So we're just so grateful that God has answered our prayers and thankful for all the blessings that he provides for us. As we were driving here this morning, we were behind a Suburban, and we drove up behind it, and it was a sheriff's vehicle from Smith County. And I had not noticed it before, but they have painted on the back of their vehicles, "In God We Trust." You know, there are not a lot of towns or not a lot of states or not a lot of people who would have that on their vehicles. But I'm so glad that we have that on the vehicles in Smith County. I'm going to share with you a poem that I'm sure that you've all heard, one that is appropriate for today. It's called "In Flanders Fields" by John McCrae. In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our places, and in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. I just wonder how many people we have in this auditorium this morning that have served our country in the armed forces. And if you have done so, man or woman, I'm going to ask you to stand up at this time. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that remarkable? Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you for your service. Another year has passed. Another Memorial Day is about to be observed. Why do we have a Memorial Day anyway? It was originally called Decoration Day, and it emerged from the shadows of the war between the states. It was first observed in the South. Before the end of the war, a number of women took it upon themselves to place flowers or to decorate the graves of the soldiers who died in that war. And several years later, in 1868, May the 30th was set aside as a day for decorating the graves of all the soldiers who died in that war. Following World War I, Memorial Day became the day to honor all U.S. soldiers from all wars who had sacrificed their lives for the freedom of America. In 1971, our federal government designated the last Monday in May to be observed as Memorial Day. You know, to most Americans, Memorial Day has minimal significance. It is simply recognized as another long weekend off from work and a time for numerous outdoor activities. But there are still a faithful few who will memorialize those who died. Have you ever stopped to wonder what the friends and the loved ones of those dead soldiers think of our lack of respectfulness for their dead? I assure you that on Memorial Day, there will be many grieving mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, who will never forget. And who will never understand why people who are so blessed by their loved one's sacrifice, who will not take a few minutes to express their appreciation. If someone died for our country whom you dearly loved, I'm certain that your perspective of Memorial Day would be much more insightful and reflective. But I'm also convinced that the founders of our nation and those who died for her would be appalled at the way the freedoms for which they sacrificed had become abused and distorted by every special interest group imaginable. Physical and political freedoms were never intended to become licenses for immoral and ungodly behaviors. In my opinion, our nation is headed for anarchy, where every person becomes a law unto himself. We are all already seeing that many people do not believe in abiding by the laws of the land. In 1787, again, I'm sure you're familiar with this, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon. And you would think that Gibbon was writing about today, but he attributed the fall of Rome to the following: the rapid increase in divorce, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the base of society, higher and higher taxes, and the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the benefit of the populace. Certainly, we see a great deal of our monies being spent on people who probably are, many of them anyway, are able to work but will not. And then thirdly, the mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming more and more exciting and more brutal every year. Fourth, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy is within, in the decadence of the people. And fifth, and I think most importantly, the decay of religion. Faith is fading into mere form and losing touch with life and becoming impotent to warn and to guide the people. But we need to also remember the one who died for your spiritual freedom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23 through verse 29, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And we've had the special privilege of doing that very thing this morning. Continuing in verse 25. "In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." How important that memorial is, that we totally concentrate upon what Christ has done for us by giving his life for us, what God has done for us by sacrificing his only begotten Son for us. The Lord's Supper should never be taken for granted. It should be a solemn occasion, but it's also an occasion of joy where we understand that the Lord is coming again and we're thankful, thankful for what he has done for us. Although it's ungrateful to forget about those who died for our physical freedom, it is absolutely unthinkable to fail to properly memorialize the Son of God, who died to provide us with perpetual spiritual freedom. I find it fascinating that our God, who knows the heart of mankind, found it necessary to have a memorial day for Christ every week. Many people who must believe that they understand man better than his creator have changed this memorial to a quarterly or semi-annual or annual observance. But God knew well our inclination toward forgetfulness and ungratefulness. You might recall that God also provided his faithful in the Old Testament times with the Sabbath day. And it was a weekly reminder of God's power in creation and man's need to corporately worship him very frequently. Just like tomorrow's Memorial Day observance for our dead soldiers, there are relatively few people in this world who recognize today or any Sunday as God's memorial day for his only begotten Son, who died to free us from sin, and who was raised to give us the assurance of his coming again and the resurrection of all the dead. I know that when I was young, and it's hard to think back that many years, but I can still remember some of those things, that the majority of people, it seemed, in our neighborhood went to church on Sundays. And you look around in your neighborhoods today, and it seems that very few people are attending worship services. There are many people who think this is the end of the week instead of the first day of the week. They think this is a time for fun and games or rest and relaxation. And most people mock the idea of spending their well-earned day off worshiping a God whom they've been convinced does not even exist. What must our Lord's Father think? And we, the brothers and sisters of the slain Messiah, cannot understand how we treasure memorializing Jesus while the rest of the world has no respect or gratefulness for all he has done for them. I read a statistic recently that 2.5 million Americans between the ages of 30 and 60 suffer heart attacks every year. 2.5 million. Another startling statistic is that 76% of those 2.5 million heart attacks occur on weekends. And this is probably an indication of the poor physical conditioning of most Americans who try to go out and cram a week's full of activities into 2 days. But it also indicates the poor spiritual conditioning of most Americans who would rather be playing than praying. In our text, Paul addressed a tendency of the people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. It is the responsibility of each Christian, that's you and me, to make certain that he never takes for granted the death of Jesus. There is no place for the observance of the Lord's Memorial Day becoming commonplace. The Memorial Day of the Lord is for reflection, introspection, repentance, and recommitment. And it is also to serve as a vivid reminder that we had better be prepared for his imminent return. Remember the one who died for you. Remember the soldiers who died for you. And remember our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you, so that we can have forgiveness of sins and an eternal home in heaven. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity to do that very thing, and do so while we stand and while we sing.